What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Mark Scran, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. We're all back. It's been a while since we've all been here together for a pod.
I love it, Viper.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, great nickname, Pats. But no, it feels good to be back. It's kind of been weird the past like week and a half. We haven't had the whole team, but it's all good to be back together.
Yeah.
Back.
And just in time, too. We just finished week one of the preseason. Training camp is very much underway. It's time to freak out about things that don't need freaking out about. It's good. Life is good. So we will do that. We'll have overreaction theater today. We'll talk some headlines. We'll talk some fast food, too, because, you know, why not? Whatever. Anyway, before we do all of that, actually, one note before we talk to Murph. For folks in the Southern California area, if you want to come harass us in person, you will have the chance to do that on Monday, August 26th. We'll be doing a live show at the Yard House in Marina Del Rey. We'll come out, we'll do a show, we'll do some Q&A afterwards. We are also going to open up a handful of spots for a listener fantasy league that we'll be all participating in. So come on out, have fun with us. We certainly would enjoy, if you guys want to kick in some appetizers or a frosty beverage. I don't think any of us are going to complain about something like that. But come on out, have fun with us. Again, it's August 26th. That is a Monday, I believe, 8 o'clock.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. is when we will be out there. And we'll remind you. We still got a couple more pods before we get up to that, so we will remind you of that. But just throwing it out there. So anyway, before we get too much deeper into the show, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I'm glad you guys are all back. I'm very excited for this Marina Del Rey Yard House trip we're all going to do. And I want to wish Fabs a happy birthday.
Yeah, happy belated, man.
But, oh, thanks, man.
But I'm sure the number one gift you wanted was both Dak and Zeke to sign.
Yeah. You know what, though? The gift I want more than any other, Yankees World Series.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Oh, because they've never done that before.
I'm totally fine with that.
Not
that over the Cowboys.
Not lately. Yes. Although, a buddy of mine was down in Cabo last week. And texted me, and he's like, I'm at a place called, I think it was like the Diamante or something like that, and guess who's sitting at the table next to me?
Like, Zeke.
Zeke. I'm like, is he lifting weights?
Or? Is he in good shape?
He's doing 14-ounce curls, probably.
I said, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell him that a lot of our fantasy football teams are, awaiting his return.
I'm sure that's going to make him hurry.
I know, yeah.
Oh, man. There's surprisingly very little Zeke in today's show, but I'm sure something will happen in the next few days, and we'll have to talk about it. But in the meantime, let's do some news.
The news.
Okay, we got to start with this because it is absolute comedy. I do not care. Antonio Brown. Okay, first, it was funny enough when we thought he's going to miss time potentially because he had frostbite on his feet because he didn't wear the proper footwear when he went into a cryotherapy session. Like, that to me was sort of amusing and just like, okay, this is really weird. Now, he is unhappy about a helmet. In case you didn't see, Mike Silver, our colleague and friend here, had a long Twitter thread about what's going on with Antonio Brown. The long and short of it is the helmet he had worn previously is no longer on the approved list by the NFL. He had a one-year grace period before he had to change. Now his helmet is no longer approved. He will not be allowed to practice or play and can be either fined or go without pay if he decides to wear this helmet. Now, mind you, guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady also have been forced to change their helmet. I'm sure they're not thrilled about it, but they're going along with it. Antonio Brown, in the meantime, says he will not play. In fact, has intimated that he may retire if he can't wear the helmet he wants. He wants to file a claim against the league. Whatever. Anyway, the long and short of it is Antonio Brown's not in camp right now, Fabs. And we all know how talented he is, but at some point, like, if we're going to spend a second, third round pick on him, like, I think we'd like to see him show up.
Yeah, remember what I said last week? I don't know why, whether it's 31 years old, whether it's going from an offense that, had the most pass attempts last season to the offense that had the 16th, whether it's Roethlisberger to Carr. I somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm concerned that something bad is going to happen with Antonio Brown statistically. Yeah. And this is just like, and I'm not a big fan of him, regardless. I think he's tremendous. He's been a great fantasy wide receiver. He's been the fantasy wide receiver for the last, you know, five seasons. But, dude, I mean, enough with the foolishness. I mean, you know, with the frozen feet and now with the helmet and threatening to retire. And I remember he had done an interview with Jeff Darlington a little ways back where he basically he says, I don't really need football. I mean, like, you know, he talked about how he bought his gigantic house in cash and, you know, he's his own brand and he's an entrepreneur. When you start hearing those things from a player and now he's holding out of camp for now, maybe holding out's not the best term, but he's not in camp right now because he doesn't want to wear the NFL's league approved helmet. I mean, come on, dude. Like,
it's a bizarre situation.
Stop.
I'll say I was not drafting Antonio Brown at all before even this news came out. I mean, he's been pretty low in my ranks all summer.
Where do you have him ranked?
32 overall. I have not spent
what position at wideout?
13 behind Adam Thielen, I think.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I dropped him.
That's not
spots.
Crazy right now.
No, I know, but for what it's worth, I've had him there pretty much all summer just because I'm not a believer in Derek Carr. He's never ranked above league average in yards per pass attempt. Mm-hmm. The Raiders are not going to throw downfield as near as much as Big Ben did. Big Ben has thrown deep downfield at like the league's fifth highest clip for five straight seasons. And now we have all these weird off the field concerns with AB that have kind of lingered over from Pittsburgh into Oakland now.
Yep.
It's just a situation like I'm just trying to avoid, especially with so many good receivers that are on the board near his ADP, T.Y. Hilton, Keenan Allen. There's just so many good players that I'd just rather have, and I'm just not even trying to mess around with it, especially that early.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing is that right now it's kind of an unnecessary risk that early in your draft, and I think that's going to cause him to fall because people just don't kind of want to deal with the headache of it all. I mean, a couple of points on this. One, Will Brinson, who is great on Twitter if you don't follow him already, had a really funny tweet last week. It says, fantasy football is bordering on letting people draft a, quote, you want to get nuts, let's get nuts combo of Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Antonio Brown. Like,
you just mentioned my first three picks in the Scott Fish Bowl.
Oh, no.
Zeke, Gurley, and Brown.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, right now it's kind of a scary group, but, like, you know, if they all show up, like, that team blows up all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'm way less concerned about Zeke than those other guys, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other part of this is, and this has nothing to do with fantasy, just kind of watching the story and watching the reactions to it sort of reminded me of how silly it is, this thing that we all do, that, like, we invest so much emotionally into, like, it's football, man. Like, it's funny. It's a game. But, like, I get it. Like, I understand. Like, there's a lot of it. It just made me laugh.
Well, not only that. Not only is it a game, like, it's a humbling game, right? We're going to get so much stuff wrong and be able to not predict so many different
things. It happens every season,
it happens,
dude. Like,
every single year.
Yeah. I'm going to put out a column at some point in the next couple of weeks with 10 stats that happened last season that have no chance to happen again, you know, in 2019. And there's going to be so much, and it happens every single season. We all know it. There's so much that happens every football season that no one predicted because it was unpredictable. Because the only thing predictable about the NFL is that it's unpredictable.
Right.
And we're going to be looking back and thinking, boy, we really blew that one.
I mean,
it happens every season. Like, Antonio Brown right now, like, he's one of the biggest question marks in fantasy football. And this is a guy who had been a first-round pick for what seems like forever.
Forever.
Now,
forever.
Third round.
Yeah. Final point here on the silver thing. The thing that kind of caught my eye most is not that he's obviously not showing up, right? Like, he's not there. But when he has shown up, Silver said he's, like, checking his phone during meetings, looking at Instagram.
Late to meetings.
It's honestly, like, same.
I mean, it's true. But, Marcus, you're not going out there trying to compete against NFL caliber athletes.
I mean,
you're in here sitting next to me every day writing.
When I'm sitting on set, there's no safety trying to take my head off if I'm not necessarily 100% paying attention.
Yeah.
You are correct on that. So we'll keep an eye on this. I will say right now the biggest winners in this whole Antonio Brown deal, HBO.
Yes.
There you go. Which was episode 2 of Hard Knocks tomorrow night. Duke Johnson, He's free. At least he's free of Cleveland. You know, he had been saying that he wanted to be traded. He had spent basically his whole career there kind of trying to fit in and never really finding a role for himself. And so the Browns sort of kind of helped him move along. They sent him to the Houston Texans. One, Graham, obviously this opens things up for Nick Chubb. But two, I think the bigger question is, what does this mean in Houston for Duke and for Lamar Miller?
Sure. I think it definitely hurts Lamar Miller's floor. And we were kind of buying Lamar Miller as a floor player anyway. Mm-hmm. Duke Johnson coming in and stealing some targets is definitely not good. Again, this is a Texans team that does not throw to the running backs. For whatever reason, Bill O'Brien has just refused to throw to his running backs, refused to make Deshaun Watson's life easier. Last year, the Texans threw to their running backs on first and second down on just 12% of their pass attempts. That was the lowest clip in the NFL by far. I mean, not even close. Hopefully, having Duke Johnson back there ups that a little bit, and we can kind of get some PPR juice out of him. But I'm not really convinced that O'Brien will know how to use Duke Johnson appropriately, which we're back in the same conversation we just had in Cleveland. I moved Johnson into like the RB35 range. I haven't fully updated my ranks, but I think that's right. Like eighth, ninth round pick. Miller's like a sixth, seventh round pick still, but
But Duke is viable now. Like, he wasn't really viable, right. I felt like.
But that's the point, is at least he's viable now, because we're not entirely sure what his role is going to be. I'm not going to sit here and say I know what his role is going to be, but at least he is viable.
Yeah. Yep. And in terms of Lamar, I think when Deonta got released, we were thinking, well, then Miller's got a good shot to retain the value he's had, mm-hmm. right? I mean, ever since he's been with the Texans, he's never been worse than RB24. So in 12-team leagues, he's always been an RB2. And we thought, well, flex starter, you know, pretty good flex starter in a 10-team league. But now that you bring Duke in and you decrease the potential for Lamar to catch passes that Bill O'Brien's not setting up in the first place for his running backs, at least on early downs for certain, Lamar's now, he's bordering on low-end running back three.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because once Foreman got released, I felt like fantasy Twitter was sort of like, something's going to happen. You know, I don't think people believe that they were going to go into the season with just Lamar Miller as their running back. I mean, I saw some wild things about maybe they trade for Melvin Gordon. I didn't buy that.
No.
I wasn't buying into that one.
I will say, I mean, the compensation of the trade dictates to me at least that he's going to be get a chance to be like a 55-45 starter split, which obviously kills Lamar Miller
a ton.
It kills his floor.
Yeah, absolutely. More running back news. This out of Seattle. Pete Carroll says Chris Carson will catch more, quote, for sure. In the words of Eric Cartman, that's cool. Look, I wrote a couple weeks ago that, you know, Chris Carson was being undervalued in drafts, part of my logic was, sure, he doesn't catch the ball a ton, but he just gets the ball a lot, and even if he's not necessarily catching it, he's still getting touches, and maybe there's a way to kind of use that as a market inefficiency. But now, Fabs, I mean, if he's catching the ball on top of what he's getting as a runner, suddenly Chris Carson looks a heck of a lot more attractive back.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you know, let's not forget he was one of the gems last season, a guy that ended up being a steal for a lot of fantasy owners. You know, when they drafted Rashad Penny, you had Mike Davis in the mix. Carson still went out and put up over 1,000 yards. He was the running back 15, only had 20 catches last season. So if we see more in the terms of opportunities as a pass catcher for a fifth-round pick, this is what his ADP is at this point. Right. I think it's going to move up probably into the fourth round. That's a pretty good value.
This is one of the situations where I actually believe coach speak, right? Brian Schottenheimer last year, quietly, I know the Seahawks just didn't throw very much at all mm-hmm. on early downs, but they were actually one of the top 10 teams in targeting their running backs on first and second down last year. Mike Davis's departure opens up over 140 touches in this backfield. I think Penny is probably maybe a little bit better the beneficiary on passing downs than Carson, but I definitely believe Chris Carson can catch the ball. I mean, he's so explosive in the open field. It's such an easy thing to get your running back out in the open field with the rock in his hands, and Chris Carson is just so, so dangerous. My favorite thing to do this year, guys, is when I have like one of those first three picks, Carson at like 4'10", 4'11", or first pick in the fifth round, to pair him with Barkley or Kamara or McCaffrey.
That's solid.
It's so solid right now. In those third, fourth round picks, you can use on, or second round pick too, you can use on receivers. It's just such a great setup to for your draft right now with the top three pick.
So this means Rashad Penny is just not a thing?
I mean, he's going to get more opportunities than he did last season. I mean, remember Mike Davis.
Because Mike Davis is gone.
Yeah, so, and you know, we saw, if you watched the first preseason game, you know, he showed a little bit there. And this is a guy who was a first round pick. The Seahawks are going to give him every opportunity to produce. But I do think that Carson is the clear cut.
Yeah.
He is the guy in that backfield. Whereas earlier in the offseason, we were hearing rumblings that this could be a committee. I really think this is Carson 1 and Penny 2.
I was definitely wrong about the Seahawks backfield last year. I thought because Penny was a first-round pick, he was going to come in and get all the touches. Mm-hmm. But Chris Carson beat him out in camp, and then he beat him out during the entirety of the regular season as well. Carson's the guy there, and Penny, I think, can be a flex starter because there's just so many touches available back here.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's funny, too, because I sort of felt like that at the end of last season, that the Seahawks were going to give Penny every opportunity to sort of win that job, but
Carson's so good, man. He's really, really good.
Yeah, it's just not happening. More running back news. This in Denver, fantasy Twitter sort of had a little bit of a minor freak out when the Broncos signed Theo Riddick because it looked like it was going to clog up that backfield. The bad news for the Broncos and Riddick, a shoulder fracture will keep him out for 6 to 8 weeks. That will take us, obviously, into the first couple of weeks of the regular season. So I guess, Graham, it's back to status quo in that backfield with Lindsey and Freeman for the moment?
Right. We were kind of expecting a running back by committee. I think it's fair to expect that Freeman and Lindsey are going to nearly split carries this year. Lindsey had the slight lead in the red zone role last year and obviously hit the passing down juice. But yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, having Theo Riddick back there definitely kind of clogs the passing down snaps up a little bit. But for now, at least, I think we can expect the Broncos to carry Devontae Booker throughout at least the first couple weeks of the season now that Riddick is hurt. But for me, I don't know how you guys feel, but Philip Lindsay's overpriced in the fifth round, right?
I mean, think so.
I've dropped him a few spots.
Yeah.
Well, but I think he's priced that way because I don't think people have clued into the fact that it may be a more even split this year. I think people look at what happened last year and expect a sort of redo of that. And look, if it ends up being a redo, that fifth round price is fine. But if that gap closes an opportunity, then you are overpaying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rich Scangarello, who's the new offensive coordinator, he's a Shanahan guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if this became Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman, sort of that situation where you're getting, you know, maybe 16 to 17 touches from Lindsey and somewhere between 11 and 13 touches for Freeman. But it's going to get close because in the second half of last season, we saw Lindsey sort of take off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Lindsey's show. It really was. So I really do think that it's going to close. That gap is going to close.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bizarre thing, right? Like, why would you want to take Philip Lindsay off the field even more? I mean, he was one of the most efficient and explosive running backs in the NFL. I'm not really entirely sure why Denver wants to take his passing snaps down with Booker and Riddick around and Freeman. But, yeah, it's definitely one of those kind of situations I don't think ADP is really fully caught up to where Lindsay's role is actually going to be.
Yeah. Last bit of news, Jermaine Kearse suffered a broken leg in a preseason game. He was sort of a little bit down on the depth chart there in Detroit. We know their top two receivers are going to be Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay, but there was an opportunity for Jermaine Kearse to maybe make an impact. I don't know. Is there anybody besides those top two receivers that you know, either of you are?
Amendola might end up being the security blanket for Matthew
Stafford. I've heard that.
I mean, yeah. PPR.
I still think Jones and Galladay are just going to get all the targets.
Mm. Yeah.
Marvin Jones is we've talked about this, Marcus. Marvin Jones is such a great buy.
I think so. I feel like he's being underrated. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I heard the early stories, I think, out of camp where they were saying he might get traded or whatever. Maybe that has an impact. But look, as long as he's still there.
That wouldn't make much sense. I mean, their receiver depth outside of those two is now especially.
Especially now.
I'll give you guys a little trivia. Almost done with this offensive coordinator coaches column that's taking me forever to put together.
How dare you?
It is a
how
monster.
Dare you work?
I feel bad for you, my friend, because it's a lot to read.
I'm excited.
But, you know, Daryl Bevel has been an offensive coordinator for 12 years, and he's had 2,000-yard wide receivers. That's it.
Wow.
Just two.
That's
Doug Baldwin
bad.
And Sidney Rice.
That seems Sidney Rice.
Sidney
that's,
Rice.
Man, I haven't heard that name.
That's it. Baldwin did it right twice, there. And Rice was once. It's just I found that very interesting.
No, it makes sense because when I was going through the team previews, his offenses have been top 10 in run rate 8 times out of those 12 years.
I mean, part of it too is like, you know, he had freaking Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, unless Kerryon Johnson is going to be as effective as one of those two guys, we still like Galladay. Marvin Jones is still a good buy based on his ADP, but it is interesting to see that, you know, there haven't been a lot of 1,000-yard wide receivers in Bevel's career as an OC.
Kerryon has so much upside this year.
He is skyrocketing too in ADP, right?
Bevel's never had a running back catch more than 46 balls though in a single season, so maybe 50 is a little high. But he could certainly get in the 40s. That running back, by the way, was Mwelde Moore. You remember Mwelde Moore?
Yeah, Tulane.
Mwelde Moore.
Man, you just basically described Darrell Bevel as like a human wet blanket. There's nothing exciting about that.
There hasn't been. Although he did lead Visante Shanko to a couple of top 10 finishes.
Man, are there just more like names you want to pull out of the crates right now?
Like, seriously? It's like a decent fantasy tight end for like a year or two. Yeah.
Man.
Huh. Hey, well, historical research, my friend.
There you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
So we went through preseason week one. Every team played, and like, you know, Hall of Fame week, you just have the two teams play. All 32 were in action last week, so that means we got to see glimpses of a whole lot of players, which means it's time to freak out. Everybody overreacts to what they see in preseason week one. And we'll do this, you know, we'll obviously do this every week. And we'll do it again, especially after week one of the regular season, because that's when you get the biggest freakouts, because then everybody's watching.
Yep.
But I listed some things here. That, you know, basic kind of a fantasy overreaction from what we saw in preseason week one, and we can kind of kick these things around. The first one, Daniel Jones is a QB1. He comes out, marches the Giants down the field, 5 of 5 passing, 67 yards and a touchdown. So, Fabs, this means obviously Eli Manning is going to retire sometime this week, and Daniel Jones is going to be like a 4th-round pick.
Yeah, not so much.
Okay.
If you're a Giants fan, Edward... And by the way, don't think that we didn't notice that you posted the picture of yourself and Daniel Jones all over social media.
Some of my friends were like, are you going to post that every time he does something good? I was like, yeah, you already caught on.
Everywhere.
This was the same guy who was pissed after he got drafted.
Sure. I was pissed the direction they went. That being said, yes. I'm going to support the guy. Like I said, the human aspect, I just felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Like after people just crushing him. But he went 5 of 5. 3 of those passes, he had 3 really good throws.
That touchdown pass was a nice spin.
The touchdown pass, the slant route, and the out. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to say anything's going to haunt me. But those 3 passes were very good. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Eli had been having a good camp too. So I would... Unless the Giants do, sorry, Ed, you know, they shock the world and actually compete in the NFC East, which no one thinks that they're going to do, Daniel Jones is going to see starts as a rookie. He's going to.
Right.
But he has absolutely no redraft value at all in fantasy football.
Yeah, I can't imagine so. I mean, unless something really flips in the next couple of weeks and he overtakes Eli Manning, but I just don't see that.
I mean, I've been in leagues where Kirk Cousins didn't get drafted. You think Daniel Jones is getting drafted?
Oh, man.
No.
No. over in New England, Jacoby Myers had himself a night. 6 catches, 69 yards, a pair of touchdowns. That was on 8 targets. So, Graham, we are scrapping Nikhil Harry, right? And it's Jacoby Myers, first off, great national law firm. Obviously a pretty good wide receiver, too.
Yes.
You know, he's no Celino Barnes, but, you know, Jacoby Myers,
oh, man.
He's pretty good.
Now you're talking about me pulling out some stuff.
It took me a second to get that one. Yeah. That was good. Nikhil Harry had a couple nice catches in that game, too, by the way. But, yeah, I've seen Jacoby Myers start to go a little bit later in drafts. The Patriots' 3rd receiver spot is, like, just a total question mark right now. We're waiting on Josh Gordon being reinstated. I guess Philip Dorsett could play there, but, yeah. Patriots' receiver corps is a little bit up in the air right now.
Which, by the way, I don't think I asked you about this because I feel like it's just fantasy catnip, right? Every time Josh Gordon's name appears, like people kind of start buzzing.
I still buy him the catnip for sure. I still buy down that. Absolutely. He's working out in Gainesville, man. He's trying to get reinstated. He's coming back.
Yeah.
He's trying at least.
He's trying. And like, look, I do. I wish him the best. I just, you know, I don't know. I just really can't. I can't do this anymore. My emotions can't handle
it. It's the Lucy and Charlie Brown situation. We've held the ball for so long, and you know, inevitably,
you guys are,
it's going to get pulled up. We're going to fall on our butts.
Yeah. You guys need to get back on the truther train. It's happier over here.
2013 was so long ago, man. It was so long
yes,
ago.
Yes, but Marcus, he was so good last year when he was on the field.
Right, that's the point. It's like when he was on the field.
I have to add that caveat.
Oh, man. The Browns are the greatest fantasy offense ever. Baker Mayfield, without Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, they just moved up and down against Washington. They scored a touchdown. Baker, 6 of 7, 77 yards and a touchdown. Now, Faz, I mean, this is maybe a slight overreaction, but, I mean, what we saw out of the Browns, like, sort of validates everybody's excitement about this
team.
We're
all excited, dude. I mean, the Browns are, that's the team in fantasy football right now. You know, like, everyone's talking about them. Baker averaged right around 19 points per game when Kitchens was the OC last season. He was the QB10. He looked tremendous. Then you bring in the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is in the mix, along with Landry and Njoku. Antonio Callaway is going to miss 4 games due to a suspension. Nick Chubb now is going to be a true featured back with more possible opportunities as a pass catcher after the trade of Duke Johnson. The Browns are a fantasy football darling, that team. That whole offense is just loaded with guys who can put up numbers. And the fact that they got Odell Beckham Jr., sorry, Eddie, in the offseason just makes this offense even more appealing for fantasy owners.
You know what's real sneaky is without Duke Johnson, I think Jarvis Landry is in for just like even more targets.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke was going to steal some of those kind of underneath RB-like targets. But Landry, people hate drafting Jarvis Landry, and he's still. Seventh round.
When Kitchens was the OC, he was averaging like I think it was like 6.7 targets a game. It wasn't much.
Right. Right.
So,
but now without Beckham, maybe we see that was without Beckham. Now we see kind of more of a condensed target tree. I think.
Sure.
With just Beckham and Landry as the 1-2 punch there, I'll be really interested to see what the Browns do. You know, Antonio Callaway's suspended for the first 4 games of the year. He's had a bad camp. He's been playing through injury. Rashard Higgins, I guess, is their number 3 now. So Landry is just, I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not in a bad spot, that's for sure.
Right. Nope.
We haven't talked about this in a while, but what are we doing with Kareem Hunt? I mean, right now he's got like an 8th round ADP.
Do you want to take 8 straight 0s?
I don't. That's the thing. I don't. That's why. Like, that just
I'm
seems,
not drafting.
That seems insanely high right now.
I haven't drafted him in a mock. I haven't drafted him in a real league. I haven't drafted him at all.
Nick Chubb. Okay. There are 4 running backs that have better outlooks in the first 8 weeks than Nick Chubb. Like David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley. Maybe Zeke when he comes back, and Christian McCaffrey. 5 or 6, right? Who else has a higher expectation than Nick Chubb in the first 2 months?
No, I mean, that's the thing. So it's not only the 8 straight 0s you're getting from Kareem Hunt, but it's also the situation of what exactly does he walk back into? What kind of role does he walk back into when he gets... I mean, for the Browns, it's great to have that other option there. But if I'm going to hold on to this guy for, you know, 8, 9, 10 weeks... I want to be assured he's going to give me RB1 kind of production. Like, I need for him to make up that lost ground quickly, and I just don't know if that happens.
Yeah, fantasy football is a weekly game, and you kind of forget that, like, oh my God, it's week 6, and I've got 4 players on
bye. Right, that's the thing.
my RB4 is injured. I can't sit on Kareem Hunt.
Like, right.
You can spend that pick in the 12th round, but you could also spend that pick on the 12th round on somebody who's actually going to help you, or at least has a chance to help you in the first 2 months of the season. I want wins. I don't want zeros.
Right. And I think that's the thing. It seems like a good idea until you're facing bipocalypse and you gotta rearrange your roster. Cause you're not going to drop your 2nd wide receiver because you got to deal with.
And it's not even like Kareem Hunt's coming in and will overtake Chubb and be the featured back. Like, his role is going to be significantly reduced to what we're used to during his time in Kansas City.
This is not the Kansas City Kareem Hunt.
And if Chubb plays as well as he did last season and with the schedule that Graham mentioned, he is going to put a vice grip hold on that starting spot, and Kareem Hunt will come in and do very little other than spell him.
I get so many people in my mentions when I talk about Chubb. It's like, oh, Nick Chubb is not going to be the starter when Kareem Hunt comes back. It's like,
yeah,
how do you know that? Nick Chubb was awesome last year, and he's going to be awesome for the first 2 months of the season.
And if you listen to Freddie Kitchens talk, he's had nothing but great things to say about Nick Chubb.
So. This is the same Nick Chubb who was almost a higher touted prospect coming out of Georgia than Todd Gurley before he heard his name.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he's awesome.
You know, I look at that ADP in the 8th round, and I just like, what It blows me away.
Where is Kareem Hunt going off in the eighth round?
I don't know. I'm just
That's insane.
Apparently, it's happening. The calculator's got him at eight. So, you know, it's a compilation.
The calculator needs to recalculate because, I mean,
it is a compilation.
That is. Yeah.
He's got the 10th round ADP on NFL.com. I mean, he goes in the first 11 to 10 rounds.
People are optimistic, man. Like, you know. You got to have hope, I guess. Hope's a day.
They look at the stats and they fall in love, not realizing there's a dude in front of them who is not going to relinquish that role outside of an injury.
Hope is a
It's just not going to happen.
Dwayne Haskins, he's a bust. Forget him. It's done. You know, we don't have to worry about him anymore. 8 of 14, 117 yards and two picks. I don't know if anybody had high expectations for the Washington offense. I think any of the quarterbacks that come out of there were, you know, we're hopeful at best. I feel like Haskins, his best value is a dynasty kind of guy. Like, yep, you're waiting for a couple of years down the road. It wasn't great what we saw from him over the weekend, but I mean, I don't know what people are expecting.
The Redskins need Trent Williams so bad.
So bad.
their left side is just, I mean, Haskins is going to be eaten alive if Trent Williams doesn't come back, which it doesn't sound very likely that he's going to come back anytime soon.
No, not soon. Maybe not at all. It sounds like he's done.
That roster's a fantasy wasteland, guys.
It is.
It really is. Outside of Darius,
bad.
You know, there's very little upside. I mean, Trey Quinn, maybe you can throw him out there. We've been hearing a lot about Jordan Reed. We've been down that road before with Jordan Reed. He's maybe, you know, the best receiver they have on the team.
No, he is.
But we're so snake bitten from him that it's hard to really take anything he does.
Jordan
seriously.
Reed is going to see like 110 targets with an average depth of target of like 6 yards. Down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But if it's
assuming he doesn't get hurt.
So let's say you're spinning, but let's say it's the 14th round. I mean, would you take that shot at Jordan Reed?
I like Jordan Reed as a late round tight
end. Oh, no, me too. Okay. Yeah. Right.
When I miss out on the whole like fifth, sixth round tier of like Howard, Ingram and Henry, that's where I'm heavily just hammering in every draft. If I don't get any of those guys, I don't mind Jordan Reed in the 13th, 14th round.
All right.
It's not sexy. It's not going to win the league, but
he's sort of the consolation if you're not able to get like a Vance McDonald or Mark Andrews, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to punt tight end down the road a little bit and wait a few more rounds.
You know what's a really fun combo this year is Mark Andrews and Jordan Reed. You get the home run swing with Mark Andrews. We'll see what you got, and then Jordan Reed's the floor play.
Yep. Yeah, and they're actually coming off the board like one pretty much right next to each other.
I've done that quite a few times.
David Montgomery is an RB1. It's lock it up. He's top 10. I know that fantasy analysts have been going nuts for David Montgomery. I like him a lot, too. He walks into a huge role with Jordan Howard now in Philadelphia. 3 carries, 16 yards, and a touchdown. 3 catches for 30 yards. I guess, Graham, what's not to like? I guess the only question is, like, is he now vying with Josh Jacobs to be the top rookie running back at this point?
Jacobs does go way too high, and I think their expectations are a lot closer than people give credit for. But at the same time, Montgomery is going in a range where he goes around Chris Carson, James White, Kenny Galladay, Tyler Lockett. It's a really tough ADP range, and it's really hard to go all in on Montgomery. But I definitely love his overall outlook going into the season. I mean, the Bears have all those carries open from Jordan Howard.
Mm-hmm. 270 touches.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen is never going to be a big goal line back to begin with. Right. So for sure, I like Montgomery for sure as an RB2.
I mean, one of the most elusive running backs to come out of college in a long time, you know, per Pro Football Focus, he led all running backs in forced missed tackles over the last 2 years. He's a playmaker. Again, you mentioned Jordan Howard no longer in the mix. That's 270 touches that are available. And Montgomery's probably going to eat up every single one of them, if not more. Right now, over the weekend, his ADP rose to the fourth round.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to put a little investment in him to grab him at this point because the stock is rising.
All right, this is for you, Fabs. Kyler Murray's a top 5 QB. Last week you had him at top 8. Now he goes out and he wows everybody. 6 of 7, 44 yards. He looks confident in the pocket. He gets the ball out quickly. So obviously you've moved up. He's a top 5 guy now, right?
I don't think I can. I can't move him up anyhow. I mean, you know, considering, you know, you got like the big four up there and then the situation with Andrew Luck, we'll see, with the calf. But, I mean, I've moved him ahead of some pretty significant names already. Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff. I think he's up there, man. Like, he is. I don't think I can move him any higher than I have him right now. And, you know, there was just a lot of dinking and dunking. Yep. You know, he went 6 for 7.
They kept it real.
Yeah.
They kept it real simple.
Exactly.
But Kyler was real comfortable back there.
Yeah, dude. Very he's a confident kid. And again, you know, a stat that I've mentioned a couple of times in the last, you know, few weeks. If you look at since 1999, the 5 rookie quarterbacks who have finished in the top 10 in fantasy points in their first NFL season either rushed for 500 or more yards. yards or 5 touchdowns. Kyler can do both.
I'm excited to see what the Cardinals do in their second and third preseason game. Andy Isabella is supposed to be back this week. He's coming back off a minor knee injury. Last week, it was funny, they ran Max Williams out there on their first drive.
I remember when he's a thing for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, they basically used Max Williams detached as a receiver in their first preseason game. I'm really excited to see what they're kind of going to do in their first two actual preseason games with some of the receivers back.
Right, because so Cliff Kingsbury, if you look back at his time at Texas Tech, the slot receiver was the one that thrived. I mean, even Jace Amaro. You remember Jace Amaro? Yeah. He actually had a really good season at Texas Tech playing predominantly out of the slot. We're all thinking it's going to be Fitzgerald, right? Or is it going to be more Isabella?
I think what they'll do is they're going to run 10 personnel, 4 receivers more than any team in the NFL.
Yep.
So that means you're going to have 2 dual slot receivers. Fitzgerald's going to be one of them.
Yep.
And I'm really hoping it's Christian Kirk in the inside. I think Isabella and Kirk are going to kind of swap inside of that second slot position. Mm-hmm. But when they go into 3 wide, it'll be really interesting to see how they align Kirk. Is Kirk now the X receiver? How do they use Isabella? I mean, they have so many guys that they can use in different spots. I think that they're all going to be lining up all over the field.
And I sort of wonder, too, like how much of this is impacted by whether or not Keyshawn Johnson kind of works his way into. Because that's a guy that I've liked since the combine.
You've been on him, by the way. He's been ahead of Hakeem Butler all camp.
Yeah, I like him a lot. The thing about him, though, is that I don't know that he has the speed to play on the outside necessarily, and so if that might force Kirk outside or Isabella outside a little bit more just to get Johnson some better matchups in the slot. And so I think if somehow Hakeem Butler can make up some ground and get on the field, then maybe that changes things. But you know, I don't know.
That's going to be offense to watch.
If Butler's going to have an impact this year, it's not going to be the first 8 weeks. He's going to have to take some big strides during the season because right now it's not happening.
Yeah. All right, so Daryl Henderson's overrated. Todd Gurley's back to being a first-round pick. 6 carries, 13 yards, 2.2 yards per carry. Like we can call off the celebration now, right? Cancel the Hall of Fame jackets.
Can we agree, though, that the 6th round is too soon to draft this kid? I said it last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we agree?
I mean,
like the ceiling is like through the damn roof. But certain things have to happen.
Hey, Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof.
Exactly. Let's put it, you know, if Gurley doesn't get hurt, this kid's value is in ceiling is certainly limited.
I will put it this way. Miles Sanders typically goes behind Darrell Henderson in drafts. And
I would rather have Miles Sanders.
That should not happen.
Rather have Miles
Sanders. And I speak as a Darrell Henderson, one of Darrell Henderson's biggest fans. I mean, he blew up my yards created process, and I still think he's going to be a fantastic player. He should not be going in the 6th round ahead of Miles Sanders in drafts.
Yeah. There has been such Todd Gurley hysteria that it's had a lot to do with this. And so that has helped Henderson a lot. But man, 6th round that's awfully pricey.
Yeah.
Awfully
it's maybe the biggest boom or bust pick in fantasy drafts right now is Henderson because and again, we talked about it last week. You're investing in an RB2 who is behind the best running back in fantasy football for the last 2 seasons. And I get the knee is an issue, but that's a lot. That's a hefty price to pay.
I think I'm still buying Henderson just for the fact that he might have like a Chris Thompson type role. He could be a flex starter, and then obviously the upside is just ginormous if Gurley misses time.
Right. Yep. James Washington is the new Juju Smith-Schuster, right? I mean, we were looking for that number 2. Juju moves up to number 1 with Antonio Brown gone. So who slides in? I mean, yeah, sure, Dante Moncrief is like playing well and getting all this hype, but James Washington 4 for 84 and a touch on 5 targets. We can forget it. It's all about James Washington now, right?
I actually really like James Washington quite a bit.
I have also.
Yeah, I think I know Fabs and I've kind of been on the James Washington train a little bit this year. It feels like people are forgetting about him. I mean, the Steelers are the best team in the NFL at drafting receivers, and everybody wants Moncrief to be a thing. Everybody likes Deontay Johnson, too. But it does feel like Washington has been a little bit forgotten about. I mean, at Oklahoma State, he was a monster producer. 2 back-to-back years of 1,000 yards and 10 or more scores.
Yep.
Fantastic athlete, and now he has all of this open opportunity. Sure, Dante Moncrief is going to cut into it a little bit. Vance McDonald is going to cut
into
it a little
Moncrief
bit.
Dante Moncrief is so, but, like, not durable, though.
Right, but Washington is so he's so cheap still. I mean, he goes in the 10th, 11th round. He's still so cheap.
Yep.
Easy to kick the
I saw a report that, you know, Moncrief was 2, and now it's Deonte and James Washington who are sort of battling it out for that.
I read that, too.
I like Washington as a late round dart throw. I really do.
any, I mean, I guess not a major concern about opportunity in the offense, because the Steelers threw the ball nearly 700 times last year.
First and passes.
It's hard to think they're going to come close. I feel like if they're coming close to that number, things have gone wrong for them this year.
If they're not going to come close to that number, shouldn't we just be buying all the James Conner then?
I mean, that's an idea.
I mean, if they're going to go a little more run heavy this year without AB, we should be hammering James Conner.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I mean, I just, because like throwing the ball, they threw it 689 times last year. Yep. That seems improbable.
First and pass attempts, fifth and offensive plays.
Just seems improbable that they get back to that again this year. Darwin Thompson is, you know, what Darwinism is alive and well in Kansas City. Six touches, 51 total yards, and a touchdown. And so while everybody is worried about what to do with Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde, we're all sleeping on Darwin Thompson, right? That's true, right, Fabs? That's it.
Late round dart throw. I still feel like Damian Williams is the target here, although that his value's cooled a bit after what Andy Reid said with the potential backfield committee. But, I mean, Williams was so tremendous in the second half of last season into the playoffs. He was putting up numbers better than Kareem Hunt was from a fantasy perspective. Now, I get it. 27 years old, has never been a featured back in the NFL. There are some causes for concern. But, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, some dynamic running back behind him who's, you know, in Carlos Hyde. I still am in on Damian Williams. I don't know if I'm taking him in the second round. He's probably more of a third round pick, but I still believe he'll lead that backfield in touchdowns.
Twitter's been so high. They've been hot and cold on Damian Williams, right? It's like at first, it's like it's all about Damian Williams. Then he gets a little bit hurt and misses some time, and now it's like Carlos Hyde is the thing.
I've just stayed steady, man. Like Andy Reid last month said Damian Williams is our guy. It's just a matter of production. Right. Go do it. The only thing that has changed is he strained his hamstring. He's back in camp today, and he was taking reps with the first team starters. Mm-hmm. I mean, Darwin Thompson, did you guys see his run where he hurdled a defender? I mean, yes. I get it's fourth and fifth string. That was a pretty sick run.
That's pretty sick. Andy Reid is generally kind of a one back guy. You know, he wants to give one guy a whole lot of opportunity. And so that means to me, Damian Williams until we hear otherwise.
I really hope people keep souring on Damian Williams, because when I start my drafts with RB receiver and then Damian Williams in the third round, I'm not going to be upset about
it. Doing some research too on Reed, his offenses, we already know they're very running back friendly. He's had 11 combined top 10 finishes at the position, which is great for Damian Williams. And he likes to give one guy the football. He really does.
He really does. And so, like I said, like,
you know, dating back to his time in Philadelphia, that's kind of been his MO.
Somebody asked me about, you know, how I felt about Carlos Hyde, and I was like, well, you know, look, until I see that it's not Damian Williams, I can't really trust Carlos Hyde either. I mean,
Hyde has not been good, guys. Like, Carlos Hyde has been, on his last three teams, he's been last in yards per carry compared to the running backs on the team on his last three teams. His last 400 plus carries have averaged 3.5 yards per carry. And since he entered the NFL, he's last in yards per target among running backs, and he is last in yards after the catch among running backs.
Hey, but one thing we know, he's traditionally pretty good in week one. So, so if you just get him week one, lock him up, and then you're good to go. Ezekiel Elliott is the greatest running back alive, because, you know, the Cowboys running game was just kind of meh without him, right? He's in Cabo chilling. The Cowboys running backs, 18 carries, 55 yards, no touchdowns, just generally underwhelming. So that means, you know, Zeke, when he comes back, is going to be the number one overall pick, because he's just is that great, right, Graham? He is. He's great.
Here's a fun hypothetical, though. Where are you guys, like, if you were on the clock right now at four overall, can you take Zeke?
I did, actually. Yeah, I have.
Let's say the first three picks are Barkley, McCaffrey, and Kamara in some order.
Yeah, I'd take Zeke 4.
I could take DJ 4.
I think I'd take DJ 4, like, at right this very minute. But I would think about it. Like, I'd probably use the whole clock before I pulled the trigger.
I've taken DJ as early as 3. But I think I could take DJ over Zeke.
Call me a homer. I'm taking him 4. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think he should slip past 5, though.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And because I still believe in my heart of hearts that they're going to get something done. Okay. Like, I just don't think they're going to let this go very far. And even if for some crazy reason it gets into the regular season, it's not going to go that long in the regular
season. It's so much a different situation, too, because you have no leverage. I mean, you're in the fourth year of your deal. Like, Melvin Gordon is at least entering that fifth year option. Mm-hmm. So if you don't play, if Zeke does not play this year, he's going to be in the same situation he was the year before. Mm-hmm. That contract is going to toll over.
Man, I never thought that to analyze fantasy football, I'd have to be a CBA expert, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Who ever thought?
Yep.
So, There you go. Those are some of our overreactions for preseason week one. Of course, if you have some that you overreacted to, good, bad, indifferent, hit us up on Twitter, either individually, or you can hit us up at the NFL podcast Twitter handle, whatever. We just want to hear some of your overreactions. I think that that would be fun to do. Before we go, I saw a story that I thought was kind of funny. There was a Taco Bell pop-up hotel in Palm Springs. Now, Eddie, you said that your girlfriend was out there, right? I know she does news, and so she was out there to cover this thing, right?
She took the trip out there, yeah. And she saw the whole facility. Like, they changed the regular hotel over to everything Taco Bell themed, so like the colors changed and the food they were serving.
I'm getting a stomachache just thinking about it.
You don't like Taco Bell?
I can't eat it.
Oh, man.
It destroys me, dude. I can't eat it.
So it was the V Palm Springs was the actual hotel, and then Taco Bell took it over for what? It wasn't long. It was like just like
a
few days, right?
Yeah, it was a weekend.
So you could go there if you love Taco Bell. They were serving Taco Bell food. They decked the whole place out in the Taco Bell colors and the whole scheme.
Yeah, I've got a friend. She's like a huge Taco Bell fan. She told me there's a freaking wait list to get onto it.
Yeah, you had to sign up, and like, hopefully they picked you to stay there for like just one of the days.
That's
of the weekend.
Wild to me.
I heard it was mostly like like social media influencers though to promote what's going on, but which is unfortunate for the diehard fans.
Right. I mean, you figure those folks, you know, the diehard fans are probably your best word of mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Think, to kind of get that sort of thing out there, especially because it's a pop up. It's not like you guys are building an actual hotel forever and ever.
I don't know, man. I want to go and put a Taco Bell robe on and chill out by their nice.
You do?
Taco? No.
I was questioning that for a second. I'm like, wait, Graham's kidding, right?
But
come on, Viper.
It's
Taco Bell.
It did make me think, though. I mean, look, we've all, even if we don't eat it anymore, we have all at some point, you know, gorged on Taco Bell at some
I'm
point in our
for
lives.
Taco Bell because it got me through college.
I think a lot of people can say the same thing. I don't think you're alone in that.
Toilet paper companies also appreciate Taco
they
Bell.
They do. I mean, look, I will say this. There is a genius in being able to take the same like four ingredients and just like fold them into different shapes and like call them a new menu item, because that's basically what it is. It's like the same like four or five ingredients.
That's a good point.
It's folded into like, my mother made a good point once upon a time. She's like, think about when you bring home Taco Bell, no matter what you order, it all smells the same. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is true. It is an actual fact. It all smells the same.
Now that I think about it, you're right.
But it did make me wonder. So I figured we can do a rank this. And Eddie, you can jump in on this too, because you, I know, are a Taco Bell aficionado.
Eddie, you take my spot in this, because I don't eat Taco Bell.
Of the four of us, I know you probably eat it more frequently. But so I said, like, let's rank our top three Taco Bell menu items. So, Eddie, as the expert here, I think I will defer to you and let you go first. Your top three menu items.
The kind of boring. The top three though are like their specials: the Crunchwrap Supreme, the Cheesy Gordita Crunch, and the Chalupa Supreme.
Oh,
so those are like the three go to.
Okay, all right. Graham, do you have?
I mean, if you don't put the Cheesy Gordita Crunch in there, I mean, that was like my go to. But yeah. Guys, Baja Mountain Dew. That was the thing.
Oh.
Baja Mountain Dew.
How much sugar's in that?
All of it.
Does it matter?
All of it.
Does it matter? Of course. I mean, that is a must for me. And by the way, have you guys ever had, well, obviously probably not now, but did you ever have their breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've had their breakfast.
Their breakfast wraps are not bad.
No, they're good.
Well, I haven't had one in not too long, but at least when I used to have them, they weren't too
bad. That just seems dangerous.
All right.
It's a good way to start your day, Fabs.
Yeah. Is it? No. I can tell you really. What the rest of your day is
really.
Probably looking like, Graham.
Not really.
Yeah, you just eat the breakfast and go back to bed.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So my three, I got the grilled stuffed burrito, which I loved. The Doritos Locos Tacos,
yes.
Which is also great because every year you get that free one from
underrated.
The World Series.
Yeah,
and like, it's an old school one, but I love the Mexican pizza.
Oh, wow.
I dig the Mexican pizza.
Yeah, that was the last time I went. Now you mentioned it. I definitely went and got a couple of Doritos Locos Tacos during the World Series.
I don't know if you guys remember this. For a while, Taco Bell did a bacon cheeseburger menu.
Yes.
It didn't last long, and I remember it. I remember it specifically because my best friend was telling me he went to a Taco Bell drive-thru, and he, you know, the voice on the other end, you know, welcome to Taco Bell, what can I get you? And my friend says, hey, I'm thinking about that bacon cheeseburger burrito. And the person on the other end said, are you sure? And he said, no, I guess not.
if the guy at the Taco Bell menu is asking you your question, asking you questions about stuff you're ordering,
like, are you sure?
You're probably doing it wrong.
If we've learned anything from Demolition Man, though,
which was
set in 2032, Taco Bell will eventually win the franchise wars and everything will be Taco Bell, which means I'm never eating fast food.
It was fine dining. You know, you had Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone dressing up to go.
I love that movie, by the way. Eddie. Have you seen it? I mean,
no,
you're young. You never saw Demolition Man.
I've not.
Demolition Man with Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix.
Eddie, I expect you to watch that before the next podcast.
If you just like mindless action films,
yeah, dude.
Like
so good.
Demolition Man.
And you love Taco Bell, that's it.
Yeah, I'll add it to the list.
It's definitely worth it.
Gotta watch it, dude. Yeah.
There you go. So I'm sure you guys didn't expect to log in and hear a whole bunch of Taco Bell talk, but you know that's what we're here for—is to oblige you for these sorts of
things. Got a stomachache.
Quick reminder again: we are doing a live show Monday, August 26th, for folks in the Southern California area.
Yes, please come out.
Yes, there
will be four spots available for our friends in our listener league. Exactly. So,
so come on out. We'll make you do stupid human tricks or something like that for it. I think we should have
Graham dress up like Viper.
Oh God,
dude, we'll get him a flight suit.
Dude, that'd be great, man.
Should I get the big aviator?
Oh, you gotta do it, man.
Heck yeah,
completely oversized one.
Yeah.
So we'll remind you of that, of course, over the next few podcasts before we get up to it. So there you go.
The address too quickly, just for fans. 13455 West Maxella Avenue, and that's in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah,
Marina Del Rey. It's a beautiful place and great spot.
Marina Del Rey. Yeah. Just plug it into Google and stuff, and it will direct you there. So there you go. That's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, when someone says you can't get anything without hard work, remind them about dandruff. We'll see you on Wednesday.